Don, welcome once again to FM. This week on the magazine of the radio airwaves, you'd be hard-pressed to find an odder couple than Dr. Timothy Leary and G. Gordon Liddy. This pairing of Woodstock and Watergate is currently touring the country with a stage show. They call it The Great Debate, Freedom of the Individual versus the Power of the State. Thing is, they really seem to like each other. Have they mellowed? Have we? And are their views really that far apart? We've got a visit with Nick Lowe. He'll be talking with Jim Monahan about life after Rockpile and some of the things that came before. New Yorkers think crime is the number one problem they face today, and like New Yorkers, crime is moving to the suburbs. FM takes a look at what folks are doing to fight back. All this and more up next on FM.
Well, I'm Timothy Leary. I'm a scientist, philosopher, psychologist, evolutionary agent. Timothy Leary. I'm a scientist, philosopher, psychologist, evolutionary agent. For the last 20 years, I have been a cheerleader for the changes that have been happening in this country. I'm not a leader. I'm a cheerleader.
The Pied Piper.
The Pied Piper. I'll accept that. After all, the Pied Piper, you know, was an ecological hero in that little town of Hamlin. The Pied Piper has always been very underestimated by your sort of people, Gordon. And I'm sure they
ran. Pipers are always followed by rats. I am G. Gordon Liddy. I was imprisoned by our government for a period of 21 and a half years, of which I actually served four and a half, a little more than this country was involved in World War II. Most of the time in maximum security prisons. Now, this was because A, I was in charge of the Watergate operation in 1972, and B, I refused to inform on my associates and colleagues.
How do you describe yourself now? What are you doing now?
I'm an author. I'm a lecturer. I am the owner of a nationwide industrial security business. I am the host of Cause and Effect, a television talk show that is syndicated by the Nautilus Television Network, and I do scripts for television shows in Hollywood. The program that I'm doing for right now is one that is not on the air. It's in what they call development, and the producers and the rest of them would not thank me for saying anything more about it. They are all paranoid out on the West Coast, in addition to playing with aluminum bats. And they seem to think that these secrets that they have are the order of magnitude of national security. They're not, of course.
I think their secrets are much more important than the secrets around the Pentagon and Dingley White House, but
I never cared who killed J.R.
All right, you can't even give us an idea of the subject matter?
Yeah, it's a crime show.
He's watching the detectives.
We are 180 degrees opposed on just about everything. There are a few things we agree about. We both detest the IRS and prison guards with about an equal degree of disgust. But on everything else, we disagree. We get along.
Why?
From my point of view, the reason we get along is that Tim Leary has a marvelous sense of humor and does not, like Dan Ellsberg, whom I have debated, consider himself the fourth person of the Blessed Trinity, you know. He's a very likable, personable guy. I think he's dead wrong.
Now, that's not true at all. I mean, that is total hype, Gordon. You're the one that says outrageous things.
Tim and I take on the audience. You know, no holds barred. Anybody out there has a right to get up and address a question or a challenge to either one or both of us, and we'll go right back at them. And it gets really thick and fast, and it gets pretty snappy and pretty rowdy. It makes every single performance becomes new that way. It's not a situation where we're doing the same whole thing, because we don't know what is going to go on out there. I remember one time I was discussing Iran, and a young girl got up and wanted to know my opinions on group sex. And my response, I was a bit flabbergasted because I thought that was kind of out of context. It was, you know, just how large a group did she have in mind? And she got very upset because I hadn't taken her seriously. And I said, well, you send me your mother, I'll take you seriously. We can articulate our respective points of view very, very well, and I think they respect the fact that we take them on.
That's not true at all, what Gordon has just told you. The facts are I've totally swept him off the court in every one of these debates. They're usually college kids, but I tell them, now be polite, and here's this poor, misguided guy, so don't boo him. Cheer him, make him feel good, get him mellowed. We can mellow him out. So I have friends in most college towns who run head shops, bookstores, or import-export businesses. Some of them even teach. So a lot of them work on radio stations. And there was this very alert friend of mine in Austin who had brought me down there to lecture at the Armadillo the last few weeks when the Armadillo was still kicking up. So it was his idea. It was someone, a person naturally brain damaged like myself, who would see the humor.
Had you two met each other before that date, before the Armadillo
date?
Yes,
I arrested him twice. Well, no, we met in the theater one time. Remember that, Tim?
That's right.
I took my wife to see a picture made years ago called Fantastic Voyage.
It was a trip down wonders of your own body.
Yeah, what they do is they shrink people into, you know, a little bitty size, and they go floating through. And there I was waiting for the show to go on, and Tim and his wife came in, and Tim came over and he said, you're really going to enjoy this because it's just like an acid trip and everything. And I said, well, by God, if anybody ought to know, you ought to know, Tim, you know. And that was another time we met. That's the great thing about
it. The terrible thing is that Gordon Liddy considers himself an expert on drugs. He'll rap until you're blue in the face. There's no thing about it. He just reads what the police manual gives him, you know, that cop rap. But he's standing up there acting as though he knew something, being the world's greatest authority on dope.
We got involved in vastly more subjects than just Watergate and drugs.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll is all my brain and body need. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. It's very good.
your silly ways, or throw them out the window, the wisdom of your ways. I've been there and I know lots of other ways. What a jolly bad show, if all you ever do is business you don't like. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Sex and drugs and rock and roll is very good indeed. Every bit of clothing ought to make you pretty. You can cut the clothing, grey is such a pity. I should wear the clothing of Mr. Walter Mitty. See my tailor, he's called Simon. I know it's going to fit.
Brain damage. Do you want to elaborate on that a bit?
That's a little joke I
use. It is a joke. He is not brain damaged. His brain functions very well, thank you.
So
every time
I
nail him, every time I nail him in a debate, he turns around to the audience and says, well, what can you expect from somebody who's brain damaged? I mean, that's his excuse, and he's not brain damaged.
But I'm sure there are a lot of people in this country who believe that you are.
Yeah. Well, this is a political tactic. Everybody's been trying to shut me up for 20 years. I take drugs anytime I want. Not the government's. Government has absolutely no Big Brother authority or responsibility under the Constitution of the United States to interfere with my personal habits in my own home. People want me to be shut up. And so practically every sort of rumor has been circulated about me that I'm a communist, I'm a fascist, my brains have been destroyed, that I'm burned out. Because it's very embarrassing to have, the fact is I'm 62 years old and I'm running around more effectively than ever, I think.
He looks a hell of a lot better and more physically fit than a lot of 28-year-old guys I've seen with, you know, a beer belly hanging over their gut.
And I consider this a product endorsement for a life which has been dedicated to dangerous drugs, rock and roll, and general troublemaking. So naturally they're trying to shut me up and they're trying to make me sound as though I'm... you know, people.
I think it was all that good, clean living in prison is what really fixed you.
Oh, that is. Yes, I agree with you there, Gordon. I was in for almost 4 years, and he was in for almost five. Isn't that correct?
Right. Yeah.
In a funny way, I'm like Gordon. Gordon is the only right-wing person that really stands up there and tells you flat out that he'd kill you if Nixon wanted him to, or he'd bug your phone. He'll stand. I know I shouldn't be saying this because they. Anyway.
Depends on the circumstances.
I know.
If you're wearing the wrong shade of lipstick, I'm not going to kill you because I disagree with it, okay? We're not all that far apart. And it's just that I do what I want to do, too, regardless of whether organized society disapproves or anything else like that. For example, as an ex-felon, if you will, 10 times over, I've got 10 felonies, I'm not supposed to handle a firearm. And yet I'll go out and target practice when and where I know it's safe. I was almost busted in Hawaii Sunday for dragging a big Harley.
Does that jive with your views of government? Should you be allowed? I mean, you are a convicted felon, and should you be allowed to go out and target practice?
Sure.
But you're breaking
the law. The convicted felon in mind when the legislators drafted that statute is the fellow who took a gun and went out and held up the corner grocery store or raped some girl or something like that by putting her in fear of her life with the gun. First of all, I never stole a penny from anybody with or without a gun. The only thing I've ever stolen is information.
Yeah.
only thing I've ever stolen is information. I have never misused a firearm, you see. And so, to me, that doesn't apply. That sign is inoperative.
I want you to know that every police dictatorship, banana republic, junta, colonel, general, always says the same thing. The law applies to them, but it doesn't to me. Because every Nixon, for example, there's Nixon breaking law regularly out of the White House and still running on a law and order ticket. And I stand up and I have been for years defying the government, defying the CIA. I say things, and I encourage particularly young people to be unique and to be themselves, and it's the duty of an American citizen to defy the government and to restrict the government and in every way keep centralized authority back in their place, because we pay them and they're our servants, you know, blah, blah, blah. The baby boom generation, those between the ages, were born after 46 and 64, in 1988 are going to be 76 million strong. That's 40 million more than we expected. They believe in excellence, they believe in freedom, they believe in changing things, they're going to take over.
Your view of the present administration?
I think Ronald Reagan has demonstrated that he's an excellent president. He may even, if he gets the chance, become a great president.
Everybody knows that poor Ronald Reagan is a ding-a-ling old fellow that doesn't understand what he's doing. We'll think of Ronald Reagan like Polk and Buchanan and Carter and all those people. You know, he's a total nonentity and a joke, and we should be kind to him.
All right, on the subject of change, then, if either of you could change this country, do one thing to change this country, what would you do?
I would institute, if it's one thing, you know, that would be the best for the country, I would institute immediately universal military training. Everybody goes but the lame, the halt, and the blind.
Everywhere is freaks and Harris, dykes and Ferris. Tell me where is sanity? Tax the rich, feed the poor. Tell there are no rich no more. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do.
That we limit the amount of years that anyone can be on a government payroll, that's whether it's Army, the FBI, or the narcotics, or the senators, or whatever, to like 7 years. So you can come in and you can steal and loot from the Treasury for 7 years and then you're through.
I agree with him with respect to the elected politicians. The way the founding fathers conceived of this country was that people who were proficient at what they do would sort of pay their dues by going down and being a congressman for a few years and then come back. It was not in their thought that people would be professional congressmen, professional senators. And that's one of the problems you have today. They become professional senators. They are concerned with getting their pension, with being reelected, and so they do not take decisions based on...
What about non-elected?
But with respect to the so-called bureaucrats, I see a definite need for a career bureaucrat, in as much as they have
like
to preserve the institutional...
That's like a career murderer, a career child molester, a career... The very word bureaucrat, every time anyone says that word, they should feel a bitter taste in their mouth, that they should laugh.
That depends upon the bureaucrat.
That's like a career moron or a career Republican.
You guys have been around a lot. For whatever reasons, for a long time, you've been in the public eye. Do you think there's a danger that you'll get overexposed?
Well, I can never be overexposed. My ideas are so important of freedom and telling young people to be self-confident, don't listen to the old people. My ideas are so important that there's no amount of redundancy or repetition. It's got to be said every day. Take over. Don't let these old guys continue. So I'm not worried about overexposure.
I don't think there really is such a thing as overexposure. I've heard about that. And I've never seen it operate to the detriment of anybody, so I think it's a myth.
Yeah, all it means is we'll come back in a year to see you again. How's that?
To take you home, you bring you down, and let your feet be back on the ground.
Hi, this is Timothy Leary, and you're attuned to NEW FM New York.